Scouts was recorded on October 17, 1962, medium Edward Flint.
Greetings, my child.
Greetings to you, Lucillus. Very glad to have you here again.
Tonight, I wish to take you back to a time many centuries ago, to the time of he who was known as Charles II.
Oh, yes.
And I want to talk to you about a young girl whose name was Jenny.
Jenny? Yes.
In this time of which I speak, in London town, there was a girl who was but 17 years of age at the time, who was known as Jenny.
Yes.
It was an amusing joke to many who knew her, because she was referred to as Jenny Wren.
Oh, yes.
Since her mother's name was Wren. She was referred to as Jenny Wren.
Yes.
For she was born outside of wedlock and was brought up in great poverty. And she became a seller in the streets and sold, according to the season, various things such as lavender, fruit, and other items which she could obtain to thereby eke out an existence. Jenny Wren, as she was known by her intimates, was a girl of high principles, though born in a condition of great evil all around and about her. She was, for her age and time, an odd creature, much given to thinking greatly within herself, and possessed of a voice which was true and pure and untrained, and as she would sell her wares, she would sometimes sing, sometimes tunes of her own making in association with the product or wares that she was selling. And she was known in London, in the high streets and the backwaters, as Jenny Wren. She had no idea of a career. Such a thing had not even entered her mind. She was content in her own fashion to eke out an existence. But she caught the eye of a young man of some substance whose name was Kildrake.
Yes.
Kildrake was attracted to her and found her most appealing and was anxious that she should become his mistress. He was a man who dealt in the city and worked in what is now called Fleet Street. He had business in regard to shipping and was in himself a moderately comfortable position. And Jenny herself was indeed attracted, and in a very short time they were married, and she had by him one child that died in infancy. Through her marriage she was able, of course, to take on a new kind of life, and because of her voice being sweet, he engaged a man of music to come and to give her lessons and to develop it. And within a short time, her voice attracted attention among many people. And it was suggested that she sing in public. And it was arranged that she should so do. And she became a great favorite in many of the houses of the nobility as a singer. And in this period of which I speak, she attracted the attention of a certain nobleman of high position who became enamored of her and desired that she should leave her husband and become his mistress. This she would not do because of her devotion to her husband. And in consequence, her life became, to a great extent, unhappy. And the nobleman in question was not content to allow the situation to pass. And he himself pestered her to such an extent that eventually it was forced upon Jenny and her husband, if they wish to continue in a happier state, they would have to move. Because the nobleman was a powerful individual and could, and did indeed, not only make things uncomfortable, but could have made things so much worse for both of the killers. And in consequence, the man sold his business and moved into the country and stayed in Bristol. And his business was conducted from that town. Jenny continued to sing and was much admired for her charitable works and her kindly disposition and her openness and her sweetness. And Jenny and her husband lived for many years in peace and in quietude in Bristol. The husband died, and Jenny continued to live in the house that he had built. took to herself a woman older in years to run the establishment and to take care of Jenny and the interests of the household. This woman, whose name was Martha, was a woman who had suffered many vicissitudes and who adored Jenny. Because Jenny had nursed her through a long illness and helped her considerably when she was in great need. And she became a devoted servant to Jenny. Jenny lived to be a remarkably old lady, especially for those times, and eventually died and was buried with her husband. And in Bristol, there still exists, I'm told, a grave, the grave of the husband. The tombstone is now very worn, and indeed the churchyard has undergone much change. Many of the tombstones have been preserved, and there you will find this remembrance of Jenny. Jenny was in that time she whom we call today Gwendolyn.
Yes.
I mention this because there runs a parallel in some measure with her present life. Jenny was a girl who possibly in her own age could have made a strong appeal in a professional way, but never had the opportunity to develop her gifts to any great extent, bar than to entertain at parties and social gatherings and functions. She could no doubt have been a great singer, but it was, of course, not to be that she should become a famous one. Her life was in many respects a life of devotion, a life given to serving others, and she was indeed a creature who gave much of herself, and in her latter years particularly, nursed and helped many aged people, and she was much revered in the neighborhood. She was not a woman, of course, of great wealth, but of some substance in those days. She was comfortably off, as you would say. Her husband was an ordinary man, good at business. But I recount this particular incarnation because I feel it will be of interest not only to you, but to Gwendolyn. The husband is not on your earth plane, but is here and has progressed, and no doubt will link up with her again, though not in that same tie of husband and wife, because such things do not exist in our world. Peoples are brought together in incarnation for various reasons and various purposes, to link together, to assist each other in their development or to play some important part in the development of others. And she no doubt will be interested to know this. But the link with the husband, though he is here, I repeat, is not in a sense such a strong one. Although there will be a link of love and affection, and there will be a link of interest which will not diminish. You yourself were not involved in this particular incarnation, although there was one who lived in that period of time, who has since manifested to you, a man of noble birth, who has in the past spoken to you.
Who is that?
He whom you refer to as a highwayman. That is the only link which you have in this association.
Yes.
It is not an important one, nor a great one, of great consequence, excepting that at some very much later stage you were able to do him a service, and you were able to help him to rise above certain earthly conditions in which he was manifest for a long time. This time of which I speak, this period of time and history, was a period fraught with many dangers, and many peoples lost their titles and their positions, and others who had no title position almost overnight found themselves the possessors of vast fortunes. It was a time of great changes, and many peoples were affected in many ways. This man of whom I speak, whom you have known in the past, and whom you have hit, is oft times around.
Oh, I'm very glad to hear that.
The association there, you see, is a tie and a link. And it is strange how certain other persons link and tie in with this. Though your remembrances of these things are dim, these things still continue. And she whom you now refer to as Gwendolyn, who has had many incarnations, not necessarily strongly linked or associated with you, but nevertheless has been indirectly and sometimes directly associated with the instrument, serves a place and a purpose even now in this present incarnation. We must try at all times to see more clearly the reasons and the purposes of these things. The links that are bound and forged, as I've often told you, cannot be easily broken. Neither is it that they should be so intended. Indeed, they are strengthened. But in each incarnation, we must remember, we are performing certain things, or working out certain destinies, or we are following a path that has been laid out for us, in which we must serve and gain experience. Not always do we incarnate for self. Invariably, it is that we incarnate for knowledge and the advancement of others. When we rid ourselves of these mistaken ideas that incarnations mean that we must return to rectify some faults within ourselves, we shall then begin to understand a little more of the truths of incarnations. It is true that there are cases and there are instances where we must return and do return, for certain lessons that must be learned, which are essential for our welfare. But we must forget self, and we must remember that in our unfoldment, in our development, in our gradual evolution through time itself, we are constantly being brought to task, and often that task is the unwinding of the mysteries that surround us. And as we unwind them through the deeds and actions that we perform for others, so the whole vision becomes more clear, and we begin to see ourselves more definitely and more surely. We can only hope to evolve when we least consider self. And therefore, in regard to each one of you, you are all serving each other. And in most instances, if you will look deeply into these truths, and particularly utilizing your friends, and those whom you truly know, and those who are truly linked in our band, and hold, as it were, the mirror up, you will see the reflection therein of how this is being done, how individual souls are being brought into contact, and how they are playing their parts in fulfilling their destiny, and how they are contributing to the development and the unfoldment of others, how they are giving of their love and their time, their effort, making it possible for each and every one who is involved to become more closely knit together as one, and how in consequence the power of love that is within each of you is circulating all the time, never staying still, never holding, as it were, to itself, to any individual person or body. How it is that all that we are trying to explain to you is natural. How it is so powerful that it is a generating force which is affecting each and every one. There are times, of course, when it does not always seem to be working out as well as one would wish. There are times when, for some reason, an individual falls short in some measure. But we must not be confused on these themes, because we must not expect always that all that is intended or hoped for shall necessarily always come to pass immediately. There are times when, of course, one fails. I do not want you to have misconceptions, and that is why I want you to clearly understand that though you may not be always, as it were, in tune, or so it seems to you, in tune with an individual who is a member of our group, it does not mean to say that because of that, or because of some particular, shall we say, individual material sense of irritation, or some particular something that you may see in a person that may cause you to feel that this cannot be, that you seem to have little, shall we say, in common with that person. He does not mean to say because you do not always feel or see or recognize the being, as it were, in rapport with another person, that this is not so, because there are times, child, when one in the group comes into the vicinity of another, and there is a sense of irritation, and even at times there is a strong feeling even of dislike. This can well be, because you must try to remember that it is not just the material, it is the spiritual that matters. There is a spiritual force which is animating an individual who perhaps for some reason at the time is not coming, as it were, into the open. It is as if he is being choked, and it is not seen, it is not recognized. That person perhaps has not yet reached the pitch or the stage when they themselves can free themselves in such a way that they can have an outlet for that which they have been sent onto the earth to do. And as I have told you, there are some members of our group who have not reached the same stage of evolution and development as the rest. And that is where often the rest, who are more highly evolved, can make their contribution to the less fortunate one. Because from that less fortunate one, you too can find blessing and to some extent experience which is beneficial. For as you are contributing to the rest and forgetting self and putting behind you certain things which cause you on the surface, although sometimes they seem deep-rooted, but often, in a sense, they are petty irritations of the flesh. But once you can overcome and avoid these things, to some extent at least, you are beginning to do your part to help that person fulfill their destiny, often without your realizing it, in regard sometimes to oneself. We must remember, and to realize this is not always easy, that each and every one of our group is a part of the other, and that we ourselves, who are on this side, who are linked with you, are trying desperately to put together the pieces so that the picture gradually shall become more clear for those less fortunate to see. You have been blessed in certain respects, at least, in regard to things of the spirit, though there have been times when you have felt that you have been confused, and only perhaps recently have begun to see more clearly the path and the way. But nevertheless, you are beginning to feel the beginning of a new and fuller demonstration and realization of many things that once seemed obscure. I have told you that during these conversations I should say much to you that would, to some extent, cause surprise. Certain things would give you some cause, perhaps even for alarm, because you are naturally, while still in the body, affected by certain material conditions and influences of a material nature around you that would not make it easy for you fully to see, though I know that you see much more clearly than most. But I am anxious that all those who are linked with us shall not only know something of their past incarnations, but what is much interesting than they must be is the realization of what your work is here and how each one of you, though some may seem unimportant, are fulfilling a place, and they are in their turn doing a work that will open the eyes of others, not necessarily by any means who are members of our group. Because if we were working only and solely for our own group, we would not be fulfilling truly the work of the Spirit. We must remember that though we work as a group, we are not working only for the group as such, though there are members of the group that we are trying to raise and to help, but we are working each one, through each one, for the betterment of many peoples. There are some who have been over and over again upon earth, and who in themselves have spiritually advanced, and yet at the same time they have certain things to eradicate from themselves, to cast out from themselves, and until such time as they have achieved this, they cannot fully develop, and only the earth life can give them that opportunity. Because the certain things that hold them back and retard their progression are earthly things. And until, therefore, we overcome through incarnation certain earthly aspects of our nature, we cannot hope to eradicate and release ourselves from these things which are the cause of our firmness in a spiritual way, for spiritual sakes. I have spoken to you about Louise. Louise, fundamentally, is a person of spiritual consciousness, a spiritual awareness, a great spiritual, in a sense, integrity. But at the same time, there are certain aspects of her nature which she has not been able to throw aside or eradicate, and in consequence she must release herself from certain aspects of herself, and until such time as she has done this on a material plane, because these are material things, she cannot be freed. You know, there are souls on this side of life who are spiritually conscious and aware, who have progressed to a certain given point, but are still, in a sense, held back by certain imperfections, which are conditions that still cling of earthly nature, and in consequence, they are, in spite of knowledge and experience in certain directions, they are even earth-bound. There are souls who in themselves are fundamentally good, who have much within their nature that is fine. They have progressed in certain respects. But because of strong thoughts and vibrations, they are held by these threads, I call them threads, that in some strange way inhibit their full spiritual progression. You see, you have heard that over here we have planes which in some respects are similar to Earth, and we have religious groups and organizations, or shall we say, vast crowds of people who are in themselves good, but their goodness is a narrowed, undeveloped, as we understand the expression, form of goodness. They live in a world, if you like, of holiness. But it is a holiness which has no true spiritual, as we understand the true meaning of the word spiritual, that is, foundation. Your friend Louise moves in this circle. She moves in this vibration. She is struggling and fighting within herself. She is living in a sense what she feels to be a good and a pure life. But she has not experienced certain things, and neither has she given herself in love to them. Neither has she freed herself from inhibitions, and neither, as it were, has she freed herself from narrow creedal conceptions. And these things are holding her and making it, as it were, a cage from which she cannot escape. There are birds, you might say, that are held in cages, and if you were to free them, they would be destroyed by other birds because they are not able to defend themselves, because for so long have they been caged that they do not know what freedom is. Your Louise reminds me of a caged bird, and within the limits of her cage she is perfectly all right, but she needs to be born in freedom. She needs to learn how to truly live and truly be a free, spiritual, released soul. And she is on this plane of earth, fulfilling and making possible her own salvation. She is again trying to unchain herself. She has been chained, as indeed not only your friend Louise, but many other souls, countless, countless numbers of souls, have chained themselves to earthly conceptions of spiritual things. And she is here in your earth world, serving, giving love, being of service, doing much in her own way, as she feels, and I do not say that this is not good. That she has yet to learn how to free herself. She has to learn how to be freed, and she needs the inspiration. She needs the power of the Spirit, and she needs that which we as a group can give to her. We have been struggling with her. As one example I give this, we have been struggling with her a long time, and I still maintain that until she frees herself from the chains, she cannot fulfill her true destiny or escape the repetitious condition which is created for a long time. She is not altogether to be blamed, but at the same time she must learn in herself. We can point the way, but she needs help.
Mm-hmm.
still here.
Yeah, oh, good.
If I have dwelt longer, perhaps, than usual, when I speak of your friend to me, it is because I know that you are most fond of her, and most anxious, if possible, to help her. And I know that you have done this in the past, and you've tried to some extent, open her mind so that a little at least could enter in her spiritual truth. I know this is for you a difficult task, but do not despair. There is nothing worse possibly in your world than a closed mind, and nothing worse, of course, than a closed spiritual mind, you might say, of an old soul. Of course, there will be those who do not understand fully what I'm trying to say, and will say, surely this is a purely physical thing, a material thing. And in a sense, the individual cannot be blamed for this. But we must remember that though one may not have remembrance of past incarnations, though one may be born into an existence, a new existence of earth, that each and every individual is given free will to choose, to a great extent, the path. I know there are many circumstances which arise from birth, in the material sense onwards, which affect the course that some people perhaps would like to take. But there is no doubt there are many people who, though striving and fighting, fall by the wayside because of certain faults in their very nature, which they have not eradicated, and which they are conscious of and endeavor to do nothing about. I do not only refer, of course, to one person, I refer to many. For all humanity, as I've often said, are to some extent battling within themselves, even the highly evolved. In fact, the more highly evolved one becomes, the more conscious one becomes of the changes that must take place, and the gradual evolution from sphere to sphere, from state to state, to being, until in a sense we lose all physical, material desires and conditions. And the spirit in itself is completely and wholly spirit. And it animates not just one's own self, but animates through many others. We term this the group soul, but more perfectly group soul. But where there are a group of souls reborn to earth, you will find that though they are within the aura, within the group condition, that they are often on different levels, each needing to some extent what the other can give, and each playing a part and contributing to not only the group, but contributing as they grow in knowledge and expansion of wisdom, are contributing to innumerable peoples in their own material present existence. People are not just reborn into bodies only for their own sakes. They are reborn for service and for bringing forth in the lives of many true knowledge, true experience, greater wisdom, so that they in turn shall grow and expand as a group and form, as it were, their own band who will serve and work likewise. When man realizes that all nations and all peoples, no matter how different they may seem or removed they may be one from another, are in some measure linked, but those whom we refer to the group have progressed to a higher plane of thought, and their animating bodies in service, and they are all being, as it were, inspired from the same source, and they are all being given the power to serve not only each other, but to serve others outside. The instrument that we use is an old soul who is fulfilling a task that has been set, not only in bringing forth knowledge and truth and illumination to the many, but also bringing the group closer together, and also at the same time working out to some extent his own salvation. For there are certain aspects here, as we have in others, that are a drawback, shall we say, to the fuller freedom of the Spirit and the manifestation of the Spirit and the bringing forth of the true realization of our work. Only now, after so long, are we beginning gradually to do our true work. We know that it has had to be a long and sometimes painful journey, but in the process of bringing this into being, there have been many on the fringe who have seen a little illumination in different lights. They have gained a little knowledge and experience, and some, not all, but some, have become linked with us. They are not so highly developed yet, of course, but they will evolve, and they will serve. If you could visualize this, I do not know how one can explain or describe it to you, but if you could visualize this force, it is spread far and wide, working through many peoples, and the nucleus, as it were, of the few who are linked together. And I must say that the links have been forged more strongly and latterly, and you have been brought together what seems perhaps under strange circumstances. And now there is a band of power which is making possible the furtherance of truth. These sittings, these sessions are more important, much, much more important than you know. We tried in various ways to do this work before, but there were difficulties. There were complications of varying kind and degree. And now it seems that coming here, like I do, the way has been found. You will see. in the ensuing weeks and months, how each and every one of you will come closer together, how the wisdom and the truth will be enlarged and illuminated in your minds, how your little differences and petty complications of ordinary material life will vanish.